The first reading is from Philippians 1, verses 1 to 6, and the second is from chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. They'll be up on the screen, but if you'd like to read along in your own Bibles, whether that's a paper Bible or on your screen, I'll just give you one moment to pull that up. The first one is Philippians 1, verses 1 to 6, and we'll read God's word together. So Philippians 1, starting at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then to the end of the letter, in chapter 4, starting at verse 10, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why don't we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we do want glory to go to you forever and ever, our loving Heavenly Father. We pray that we will give glory to you in everything that we do, even in the matter of giving and receiving. We pray that you might move our hearts towards you and what our giving might do for you and for others as we listen to you now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I reckon anyone here who has an email address and checks it even semi-regularly will know that it is the end of financial year coming up. And the reason for that is doubtless you will have received multiple emails advertising their end of financial year sale, their end of financial year appeal. Someone will be asking you for money at this time of year, because the end of financial year seems to be a time when people do that. So, not to jump on the bandwagon, but this seems like an apt time to be thinking about money at church, and in particular, how we might give, not towards the latest sale or even a charity, but towards the work of the gospel. How can our giving promote the work of the gospel? See, we're at the end of a 7-week series on mission that we have called Everyone on Mission. We've called it that because the Bible says that all of us are called to be on mission, proclaim and promote the gospel to non-Christians so they can be saved. But also all of us can be on mission because there are lots of ways that we can proclaim and promote the gospel to non-Christians, and all of us can do some of them. In our first week, we looked at why we do mission, because it glorifies God and is wonderfully good for those we share the gospel with. And in the following 5 weeks, we saw how we can do mission, all the different ways the Bible says that we can. And there's loads. We can speak the gospel to people. We can invite them to our church services. We can thoughtfully answer their questions. We can pray for people, and we can help them with our good works and so glorify our Father in heaven. Today, as we close, we're going to look at one final way the Bible says that that we can promote the gospel to other people, and that's with our financial generosity. So, mission giving. In Acts chapter 16, let's jump straight into it. Paul and his companions, they plant a church in a city called Philippi, which is in northern Greece, known at the time as Macedonia. It is up there. It's right up at the very apex of that red squiggly line there. I won't expect you to read it, but it's right at the top there, Philippi. Now, eventually, Paul and his friends move on from there to plant other churches. But it turns out that for the rest of his lifetime, the Philippians keep supporting Paul financially so that he can do this. Now, we actually only find this out years later when Paul is in prison and in Rome and he writes to the Philippian church that he planted all those years ago. Listen to Philippians 1, verses 3 to 5. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul's praying for the Philippians, and every time he does, he prays with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. Now, what does partnership mean? Well, it means a shared effort and commitment towards a common goal. Partnership simply means working together to get a particular thing done. So we often use the word in a business context, don't we? People want to start a business together, and so they go into partnership together. And the same businessy overtones are in the same Greek word used here. The Philippians and Paul are, amongst other things, business partners in the gospel. They're committed to the same project, getting the gospel into as many people's hands as possible. Now, how can they be in partnership together, though, when they haven't actually seen each other for years, are in totally different cities? And one of them is actually in prison. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Philippians 1 says that they are still in partnership. Paul gives thanks for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. But how is that possible? Well, one of the ways is that the Philippians have been giving money towards Paul's gospel work. You see, it turns out that they actually helped him fund his very next church plant on from them, the one in the neighboring city of Thessalonica. You see, after Paul left Philippi, he went and planted a church in nearby Thessalonica. Again, it's up there on the slide. It's just to the left from your perspective there of Philippi. And it turns out one of the reasons he was able to do this is because the Philippians sent money so he didn't have to work for his own living and he could spend all of his time planting that church. Look at the end of Philippians, which we read out, starting at verse 15. As you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Paul was in financial need when he was in Thessalonica, and the Philippians met that need. They helped fund his church plant. And Paul sees this as part of their gospel partnership together. The word shared in chapter 4, verse 15, is actually the same word as partners in 1, verse 5. Not one church partnered with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. The Philippians see giving money to Paul's work as a way they can be involved in mission. And yet their funding continues. After Thessalonica, the Philippians kept funding Paul. They helped him plant the church in Corinth. So in Acts 18, Paul plants the church in Corinth. Now we're much further in the south there, right at the base there of Greece. And the Philippians helped pay for that too. Writing to the Corinthians in another letter, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 9, it says this, "When I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia, including the Philippians, supplied what I needed." Turns out they've kept partnering in with him financially in his mission. And now that he's at the end of his life and in prison, they are still helping him financially. They're sending him gifts. Philippians 4 again. "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied, and now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You see, Paul and the Philippians have been in gospel partnership from the first day until now. And part of that partnership is them funding him in his evangelism. In the past, in helping fund his church plants, and now in helping him while he's in prison so he can keep writing letters to support the church. Giving financially is a way that Christians can be involved in and promote the mission of the gospel to a needy world. So let me ask you a quick question. Hands up here who knows or has heard of George Whitfield. Let's have a show of hands. Hands up here who's heard of George Whitfield? Yeah, yeah, okay, quite a few hands have gone up. Right, okay. If you don't know who he is, George Whitfield was an amazing 18th century preacher and evangelist. Over his lifetime, it is estimated that he preached to over 10 million people. And remember, this is before internet streaming. That's 10 million real-life people. And countless numbers of those people were converted under his ministry. He was also actually a great charity worker. He started the Bethesda Orphanage in Georgia in the US, which is actually still running and happens to be the longest running, continuously running charity in the States. In other words, George Whitfield, amazing guy. No wonder lots of us have heard of him. Now I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who here has heard of Selena Hastings? Isn't that interesting? Not one of us. Well, let me tell you, without Hastings, there is no Whitfield, or at least much less Whitfield. He would have done much less. Lady Selena Hastings was Countess of Huntingdon in the UK. She was an amazingly rich woman and a very committed Christian. And she became Whitfield's financial patron when he was 34, and she kept funding him until his death when he was 55. Now, over those 21 years, she paid for a vast number of his ministries. She helped him fund his amazingly successful American missions, and she also made him her personal chaplain, which gave him preaching access to the most important people in England, including the British PM. Over her lifetime, it is estimated that Hastings gave the equivalent of $387 million to gospel work, including to Whitfield. Her nickname at the time was Lady Bountiful, and you can understand why. Now, let me ask you, was Whitfield doing mission? You bet he was. He was preaching up a storm. Was Selena Hastings doing mission? You bet she was. She was paying for it all. Whitfield was proclaiming the gospel, and Selena was promoting the gospel by funding it. They were partners. Giving towards gospel ministry is a key way all of us can be involved in mission. So as we close, where can we give to support mission? Well, it turns out lots of places. The Bible lists lots of ministries that we can give financially towards to support mission. First of all, the Bible says we can actually give to our own church right here. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting at verse 17. It says, "The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, 'Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain,' and 'The worker deserves his wages.'" The first place, according to God, that Christians are to give is actually right here in the local church. The vast majority of whose funds are used to pay for staff so that we can preach and teach to build up the rest of the body. And of course, part of our church's role is mission. So when you're giving to church here in Lockleys, you are actually giving to mission as we hold out the good news of Jesus to people who don't know him yet. Your giving helps support the outreach events that we do. You know, our Christmas and Easter services, our Mother's and Father's Day services, all of the stuff that we saw here at our Christmas carols with all of the fun and the games and the petting zoo, they were paid for by you. The petting zoo didn't do it for free. We paid for it. And your giving made that possible. It's giving to support our Sunday services, what's happening right now, which, as we saw from the Bible just a few weeks ago, is a great place to invite a non-Christian along to so they can hear about Jesus. It's giving to support our Explore course, which we're hoping to run soon, and the follow-up courses, which will help inquirers as they keep checking out Jesus. It's giving to support our kids' ministry, which, as we heard from Kylie just a few minutes ago, is a key way to reach new people. Did you know that 80% of people who become Christians in Australia do so before they turn 18 years of age? I mean, that tells me that investing in kids and youth ministry is a pretty great way to invest in mission, isn't it? So what's the first way that you can support mission through your giving? Well, it's giving right here at church. And so God wants to encourage all of us here, as we're able, to give generously here at church. Now, I know that lots of us here are already giving generously to church. All I can say to you is thank you so much. Your giving makes what we do here possible. But we also know from the stats that there are still quite a few of us here who are members at church who haven't yet started giving. Now, if that's you, can I first of all say thank you for the way you partner our ministry here in all the other ways that you serve. We're really grateful for that. Can I also say that the Bible never says that we're to give beyond our means when it comes to that. And we know that for some of us, giving financially just isn't an option at the moment. That's fine too. But if you are able to give, even a small amount, and you haven't started yet, I'd really love to encourage you to start giving now. Because your giving really does make a difference. It helps us reach people who don't yet know Jesus with Jesus. So if you're not yet giving, but you could, please just go to our website, follow the link, and start giving now, even if it's only a small amount. Every little bit counts when it comes to seeing the good news of Jesus go out. That's the first way that as Christians we can give to support the gospel. We can just give to church right here. A second way that we can do mission with our money is through actually giving not just to our church, but to other churches. Now, we've already seen how that works in the New Testament, haven't we, as the Philippians have helped plant the churches in Thessalonica and Corinth. People give to Paul so we can plant new churches. And actually, for those of you who don't know, that's actually how something like that very similar happens here too. For those of you who don't know, we're actually part of a network of churches, the Trinity Network of Churches, that is made up of 14 churches across our city and region. And the reason this network exists is to plant more churches in more places so more people can be saved. Now, part of the way we support this work is supporting each other financially. So the way it works in our network is that when a new church is planted, it gets financial support from other churches for the first 3 years of its life until they can become financially independent. That's actually what happened to us. For our first 3 years, we're now in our fourth year, we got funding from other churches. And frankly, we wouldn't be here if we didn't. We needed that to get up off the ground. So we're actually very grateful for the financial help of other churches in the network, or we wouldn't exist. Likewise, now that we're up on our feet, we actually also give 10% of our income to our network so that new churches like ours can be planted elsewhere. That's actually another reason to give to our church here. Because 10 cents in every dollar that you give will go towards the network, which will in turn help more churches be planted and see more people reached. Next week, Paul Harrington, our network senior pastor, will actually be here to preach and will share what is something of what's happening in the network. So be sure to be here to hear that, amongst other things. God is using your giving for his glory. How can our giving promote the gospel? You can give here to church. We can support other churches being planted. And of course, finally, we can give to gospel work happening overseas. Another way we can do that is by giving to overseas mission, mission that's much further away than our own doorstep. I mean, you see that all through the New Testament too. So at another time, Paul wants to go to Spain, which is at the ends of the earth as far as he's concerned, and he asks the Roman church to help pay for him to get there. That's Romans 15. Or writing to the Corinthians, chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, perhaps I'll stay with you for a while or even spend the winter so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. Clearly, he is expecting to ask the Corinthians for money to help him on that next mission trip, wherever that will be. And that's another way that we can give to mission through our giving, give to overseas mission. Now, one way that we do that here is we encourage people to give to CMS, the Church Missionary Society, our global mission partner. I mean, they do absolutely great work, and lots of people are coming to faith through them. Why not prayerfully consider, if you've got the means, becoming a formal giving partner with them, or find out about what that would mean by sitting in on their online dinner? Because giving to the work of the gospel is just one more way that we can see other people saved, a way that doesn't even require us to leave our laptop. And you know what? It really is genuine partnership. I think sometimes we worry, giving, finances, I mean, we get a bit nervous about that. We think maybe it's not real mission. Can I assure you it really is? You're not just outsourcing mission when you do that. You know, giving to mission so that someone else can do it so you don't have to, you know, kind of buying your way out of it. Now, at its best, giving to the work of the gospel is genuine partnership where you are as invested in the results as they are. You really care what happens. So you're not just giving to that work, but you're also praying for it and seeing how the work is going and making sure your money is being well spent. It's not fake. You are in genuine partnership when you give. Of course, it's also really important that those you give to are in partnership with you. The worst thing is when churches or other ministries treat their givers like kind of cash cows, where they say, well, it's your job to give, and then we'll do the real ministry. Just give us the money and get out of the way, won't you? No, that's the most appalling way of talking about it. That's not partnership. No, we want to be in partnership together. Those who receive our living from the gospel and those who partner with it financially, so that we can see people saved for God's glory. And why do we do it all? Well, because God is a giver. God has given us everything we have. He's so generous to us. He's given us everything we have physically. He's given us everything we have spiritually. And so as we are increasingly conformed to the likeness of Christ, as we're able, we want to be able to give too, for God's glory and for people's good. So how can we do mission? What are the things that will see people saved? There's lots of ways. Speaking, gathering together, answering people's questions, praying, helping, and giving. All of them are things that we can do, you and me can do, to help people find eternal life. So let's do these things together in partnership for God's glory and for other people's good. Why don't we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your astonishing generosity to us, that you sent your Son Jesus, the only Son you had, and you gave him up willingly for us so that we could be reconciled to you. Father, we're so grateful. Father, we pray that you will give us a spirit of generosity, wanting other people to come into relationship with you through Jesus as well. Father, we know that you've given us all different life packages. What that looks like will look different for all of us. For some of us, we won't be able to give financially at all. For others of us, we'll be able to give much more than we're currently giving. And the rest of us will be somewhere in between. But whatever it is, Father, we pray that we will do it joyfully and generously. And that, Father, we will use the financial gifts you've given us to be a wonderful investment in the future of others. That we might be partners in this together. So that on that last day, many people might be standing before you, giving you great praise because of what Jesus has done for them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.